I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter number 42. Psalm number 42. I want to read all 11 verses. God will help us. It said in verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspout. All Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." And if you have your Bible open, look at the last verse in Psalm 43. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that portion of Scripture. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for bringing me back home safely. Thank You, Lord, for the assembly that's here tonight and for our fellowship we've enjoyed and the singing that's blessed my heart already. I thank You, Lord, for Your people, Your presence. I pray now that You will bless the Word of God. Lord, that You will honor Thy Word and help Thy servant. I pray for liberty, Lord, to say some things that will be an encouragement to the family of God. I pray You'll help me, Lord, to say something that will elevate their spirit and will glorify the Lord Jesus, at the same time preaching the gospel that sinners might be saved, doing my best to magnify Christ. I pray You'll anoint with that unction that I need to preach, and I'll thank You and praise You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text tonight will be found in verse number 5, verse 11, and then verse 5 of chapter number 43, where the psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" I want to preach for a little while tonight, and I want to say this, that I'm preaching something that is not burning in my heart to preach. But at the same time, I feel like there are those in our church that very well need to hear what I'm going to say tonight. And I may not tarry long, just a little while, but the psalm contains a great deal that I believe is pertinent to the hour that our church is in, and will be a blessing, I believe, maybe not to everybody, but to those that are willing to listen with their heart and receive what the Word of God says. And I want to preach, if God will help me tonight, on the thought, faith interrogating our feelings. I think that we find our beloved psalmist of Israel relying greatly upon that which he feels rather than living a life of faith. Amen. For he says three times, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" And when I say he is interrogating his feeling, the word interrogate means to examine by question. And that's what David was doing, not only interrogating his own heart by asking questions to himself, but he was likewise asking the question to the Lord. And he said, "Why am I?" Or, "Why is my soul cast down?" Why, David said, have I come to this place that I'm living in a depressed spirit? I want to say that we all go through those times. There's going to be times of depression within our life. Now, when he begins the psalm, David is living under a sense of the absence of God. He said, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul, he said, thirsteth for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before him? And so David here is in much the same case that Job was. He is living his life with a sense of the absence of God. Have you ever felt that way? Ever tried to pray and it seemed like that your prayers got no further than maybe to the top of your nose? Or it just seemed like that God did not hear you? And you know it's in those hours that if we're not real careful, that the flesh will gain a victory over us and we'll find ourselves backing away from God rather than in pursuit of God Himself. And I tell you, it is in those times when God seems far from us that we ourselves ought to take the initiative to draw nigh to God with the promise that James gives us, that if we will draw nigh to God, then God will draw nigh to us. And so he begins here with that sense of the absence of God in his life. And in the latter verses of the text, David feels a deep depression and then a strong consolation of the Lord. He falls into that deep and depressing spirit. I want to say to you, my friend, that that is the life of a Christian. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, today you may be living on the mountaintop, but by in the morning, you're in the Garden of Gethsemane. You've done dropped from the mountain to the very lowest depth. And oftentimes just a letter in the mail or a word of bad news. I lost my job. I'm behind on this bill and the debtor called. Me and Sweet Pea had a little fuss before I left for work. Are you catching my drift? We might leave church on Sunday night floating in the clouds, and by the time we get home from work on Monday afternoon, buddy, we feel like God has done deserted us and that nobody loves us, everybody hates us, and rather than walking in the sunlight of God's love, we're walking with a deep, depressed spirit all about us. I believe I can prove that to you by the text. Let's look at verse number 4. He said there, when I remembered these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. It sounds to me like in verse 4 that Brother David, my friend, is excited and enjoying his service in the Lord. He said, we went to the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. It's this same psalmist that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, friends, honestly, before God, that ought to be the joy of our soul in 2001. It ought not to be a chore to come to the house of God. It ought to be a blessed privilege to come and fellowship with God's people and hear the preaching of the Word and enjoy the presence of God and come expecting God to do something in our life, amen, that will either cleanse us of our sin or purge us, my friend, of iniquity, or draw us closer unto God, or give us victory over a problem that we're having in our life. We ought to be happy about coming to church. Son, there ain't too many folks that think the church is a chore. Well, we have to go to church tonight. You might as well stay home. Son, it ought to be hallelujah. We get to go to the house of God. And guess what, honey? I'm going tonight with an expectation in my soul that heaven's going to open and God Almighty is going to come down and fellowship with His people. Friend, I tell you, we've forgotten that He's ordained the church, amen, to manifest His glory in and to fellowship with His people in. And old David is on cloud nine. He said, praise God, there's a whole multitude. He wasn't with two or three. He said, there is a multitude of people that's going to the house of God. And they're faithful. They've kept holy day. They're faithful going to the house of God. And they're going with joy and with praise. They're not going with the molly drums. Oh no, they're not going with a pooge mouth. But they're going with joy and they're going with praise. They've come to sing and they've come to pray. And they've come, my friend, to praise of the darling Lamb of God. Oh, yes, what Brother Simpson said last night, not altogether what He's done, but praise Him for who He is. Hallelujah to God. Did you hear that last night? He got that from me. Now, he didn't get it from me, but I preached that here 5 years ago. Amen. That we can praise God for what He's done and thank Him for what He's done and want to be in His presence for what He's done. But when you mature a little bit, you just want to be around God for what God is. If you'll notice, David here did not say that my heart paineth after the power of God or the blessings of God, but he went right through the shell and got to the kernel on the inside. He wanted to get to God, not the attributes of God, but God in person, my friend. I'll tell you, when we finally decide in our heart that we want God, not His power, not His blessings, not His grace, not His joy and His peace, but when we want God in person, then I'll tell you, things will pick up. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are we going to do without all them other things?" Honey, we're not going to. If you get Him, you got it all. Huh? Hallelujah. That's right. But look here. He's on cloud 9 in verse 4. He's going to the house of God with a multitude that kept holy day with joy and praise. But verse 5, the very next verse. Can you believe a man can drop that low in one verse of Scripture? I believe a man can drop that low in a matter of 5 seconds. Oh, my soul. Here I am in the house of God, and 5 seconds later, it's, "Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Why art thou cast down? And why art thou disquieted within me?" God's still the same now as He was 5 seconds ago. But if we had ever learned that we serve the same God, my friend, in the valley as we do on the mountaintop, it would energize us and stir our soul, my friend, that we could serve God faithfully without a poo's lip, even in the valley. Hallelujah to God. Woo! That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice, in verse 1 through 4, you don't have to read all this now, but in verse 1 through 4 and 6 through 10, David is in prayer and he speaks to the Lord. He is praying to the Lord. But when you come to verse number 5 and verse 11, David's no longer looking upward. Come on in the house, children. I tell you, that's when our problem set in. David is no longer in prayer looking upward, but he's looking inward. "Oh, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me? Why art thou cast down?" Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. When you get your eyes off of God and get your eyes on you, that's when the problems are going to start. But, buddy, things will pick up. Things will pick up. I'm telling you, things will pick up if you get your eyes off of you and off of your problems and get them back on God in prayer. Things will pick up in your life. That's why some of you live in a constant pity party. Huh? You live in a constant pity party because you keep looking at yourself. I'm be quite honest with you. I think I'm pretty handsome, but I'm not so handsome, bless God, that I wouldn't get sick of looking at myself in a mirror 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Huh? Would you rather look at you and your sin or God and His glory? You say, "Hey, that's what happened to David." David said, "My heart's panting after God. And the heart panteth after the water brooks. My soul is thirsting for God. I'm in my knee in my prayer closet, and I'm trying to find God in my life. I've got my affection set on things above. But oh, one little misfortune. One bill I can't pay. I wish you'd walk back there in my bill box. And then look at the checkbook." Somebody said, "What are you going to do, preacher?" We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. I'm just going to keep on going. There's no turning back. Bills or no bills. That's right. Amen. Hardships or no hardships. I'm just going to keep on going. Stop looking at yourself. And get your eyes up on God for a change. Now look here. Here's what David does. In verses 5 and 11. He's not looking upward. But he's looking inward. And immediately, his feelings is brought before him. When he looks inward, immediately he says, he makes a statement. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Immediately. Doesn't take him but a second to look inwardly, and immediately his feelings is brought before him. He is disquieted in soul. Now I want to say that all godly men will do the same thing that David done. Are you listening to me? Are you really saved tonight? The first thing that David did when he looked inward and saw the spiritual condition of his soul, that it was cast down. Friend, there was no spirit in David. There was no zeal in David. There was no heart in David. I hate to use a stupid illustration like this, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. You take an athlete that doesn't have a heart to play the game, he'll never amount to a flip of a used booger. Huh? Never! Never! No, sir, and you take a Christian that doesn't have a heart for God, that all they have is a cast down spirit. Their lip drags the ground 24 hours a day. I'll tell you, they'll have a hard time serving Almighty God. But the first thing that David does when he turns inward, are you listening now? And he said, oh my soul. The first thing that David does, he said, hey, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Can you get the two? He looks inwardly and is depressed in spirit. But immediately the faithful man, that faith that he has in God, that faith begins to interrogate the feeling to find out which one of them is really ruling and reigning in David's life. I won't say there's a whole lot of people today that is being ruled by their feeling rather than living by faith. Are you listening? Huh? Now don't leave me. Don't leave me. He interrogates his feelings by his faith that he might overcome his deep depression and walk in total victory. Can I be honest with you? I have slipped off into depression and 15 minutes later come out of it. And 20 minutes later fall back into it. Huh? That right? Amen. Amen. I just want to be honest with you. When that phone rang tonight and I answered it sitting in there, my heart said, boom. Come on in the house. But when I got out here and plugged up a little bit, she said, you started to sing it. That same heart that was laying in the pit of my gut rolls back to where it ought to be. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling somebody, said, preacher, that takes us on a roller coaster ride. Yeah, hallelujah to God. Up and down in your life, and that's the way it is with a child of God. We're emotional creatures, brother, but our faith, friend, can override our emotions if we learn to walk by faith rather than live by the feelings that we have in our bosom. I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest with you tonight? We're not over the air. Can I be honest with the church tonight? These times I leave this church and go home and sit down and sit there for a minute and say, I say, Miss Hall, I believe the whole church hates me. Huh? Sitting preaching. Some of y'all don't never smile. Miss Hall say, I don't believe they hate you. I said, well, I'm just afraid they do. I'm afraid they're tired of me. I'm afraid they hate me. Then we meet back there in the room Sunday, and there all the men says, let's buy the preacher an automobile. And I say, no, they don't all hate me. Not all of them have. And I come back to church and you're frowning again. I say, yeah, they just tried to be good, bless God, and tried to do good works to get into heaven. They still hate me. And then you start singing and smiling. I say, no, really, they, come on now. Have you ever been that way? You know you've been that way. You know there's been times in your life, brother, when you felt like there was nobody around that loved you, including God. You couldn't find God. You couldn't find fellowship. You couldn't find friendship. And your feelings, friends, sunk to the bottom of your gut. And you felt like God was dead. Amen. Is that right? That's David. That's David. And somebody said, you're trying to preach Brother Massengale's message from last year. I got news for you, sweetheart. I preached this message 11/22/98 in Sunday school. Amen. Hallelujah. Same message, same thought, same piece of paper in 98. I'm on in the house, youngins. Hey, look here. You know the first step to victory? You know the first step to victory? Is David made confession of his despondency. Look at verse number 6. And now look here. When that faith gets interrogating feeling, David ain't any longer talking, looking inward and talking to himself. Again in verse 6, he looks up and begins to talk to God. And in verse number 6, he said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down." Can you get a hold of that? He confessed where he was at. He didn't put on a sham. Come in the house of God with a big phony baloney smile on his face. That you knew was as phony as a Bill Clinton $3 bill. David didn't try to hide from God. Come into church and say, "Boy, I'm happy today." When all the time that heart, that spirit, that soul, rather than being up where it ought to be, is laying right in the pit of his stomach. He said, "Oh my God, I confess to you. I ain't got what I ought to have today. I confess my despondency. I confess my disquieted spirit. I confess that I'm down in the mouth. I confess that I've got the mully grub. I confess that I feel friendless. I confess that I feel hopeless." But then the faith of him says, Oh my soul, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise the God of my countenance." Hallelujah to God. Turning as fast as he goes down, that faith just picks him right back up. Are you listening? He confesses his despondency. I believe that's what verse 6 says, isn't it? "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." Didn't try to hide it, did he? Come on in the house. Now look here. When he confesses it, it reminds him of what he is. Are you listening to me? It reminds him of what he is. Church, hey, it'll be a happy day when we recognize what we are and say, "Amen to God, that's what I am." Because David, confessing his despondency, confessed his weakness. "I'm just weak. I am clay. Thou art the potter, but I'm the clay. Thou art the creator, but I am the creature. Thou art almighty and eternal, but this body of clay is temporal. For it came from the dirt, and back to the dirt it shall go. I'm just a weak little old a human being that came out of the ground and shall go back to the ground." And then confessing that weakness, friend, I'll tell you, he showed a spirit of humility and not of pride. Huh? I've asked people in this church lately what was wrong with them. Something I can help you with? Something I can pray about? Ain't nothing wrong with me, preacher. Liar, liar, pants is on fire, nose is longer than telephone wire. They lie to try to cover up the facts. And I'm telling you, friends, it's pride in the heart and machoism that I am capable of handling this all by myself. But I'm here to tell you, friend, David realized right quick that it took more than a week of human like David to handle the despondent spirit that had overcome him. And friend, it took God in David's life, and it'll take God in our life to overcome the same. Is anybody listening to me? I hope so. Reminds him of what he is. He's weak. He's troubled. Huh? He got troubled. Oh, my soul. God, I am cast down. I'm troubled. Troubled on every side. Pressed out of measure. Got the squeeze put on me. And And I don't have time, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to go into all of it right now. But later on in the chapter, David recognizes that it was God Himself that was putting the squeeze on David, buddy. You don't think God will? Deep calleth unto deep, He said. Thy waves, and thy billows flow over my soul. Baptist folk think the only person that ever does anything in their life is the devil. They don't blame everything on the devil. If it's opposition, if it's something that hinders us, immediately it's the devil. Oh, not always. My sister come a charging in the house over there a week ago Sunday and been out running up and down the highway and sent her, "Wah!" Well, I said, "Why don't I?" And I am not exaggerating. Went over and said, "If I spoke to me, I'm lost. I've been lost. I ain't got no hope." Found out she'd been to Hopkinsville. She'd been up north on the parkway. Didn't have any money. Didn't have any gasoline. And she sat there and she said, Oh, if it was God's will for me to be here, why are all these things happening to me? I said, "Hey, shut up a minute." I said, "Where you been?" She said, "A place called Hopkinsville, way up here." Said, "I run out of gas. Didn't have any money." I said, "You run out of gas, huh? You wonder why all these things happen to you." I said, "Just think, sis, if you'd have headed back home, you'd have been over about Caneyville right now, out of gas."
All right. Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? God's a wonderful God.
Yes, sir.
There she is, a criticizing God because He prevented her from being abandoned, my friend, out on a parkway without a friend anywhere. But God was good enough to her to run her around the mulberry bush, so to speak, and bring her right back here where she could find help to get gas to get home on. What a God we serve. Oh, her soul was disquieted and cast down, but what a God we serve. The waves and the billows that flowed over her soul was of God Almighty, that He might bring the desired blessing to her. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Dr. Russell Rice, you stand Bible College, Honolulu, Honolulu, Hawaii, Hawaii. Amen, amen. Not only did that confession remind him of what he is, and I could go on with that thought quite a while, but look, he said in verse 6 also, "Therefore will I remember thee." Not only does his confession remind him of what he is, but in doing so, he remembers God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Confession of sin will take you directly to God Almighty. There's nobody else to confess it to. You're surely not a Catholic. You're not going to go pay some idiot that wears a dress, looks like a mama, and calls himself a papa. You're not going to give some idiot money thinking he can forgive your sin. Brother Mark Barnett can testify to the fact that that just don't work, does it, Brother Mark? There is one God and one mediator between God and man. Are you listening? The man, Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you this right here, lift a whole lot of Baptists, but that verse says the man, Christ Jesus. Son, we have got a perfect man at the right hand of God. The first Adam sinned and fell, but the second man, Adam's son, overcome sin and is victorious today after purging our sins. It's set down at the right hand of God. I'm telling you that we've got a man in heaven. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Somebody said, "I'm cast down." So was he. "I'm heartbroken." So was he. "I'm hurt." So was he. "I'm wounded." So was he. "I'm grieved." So was he. "I've lost loved ones." So did he. Are you listening? I'm talking about a man, a perfect man, 100% man, 100% God. Figure that one out, Buckwheat. I can't. All I know is I serve a great big God. Amen. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring glad tidings to the meek, and to heal the brokenhearted. And son, I'm telling you, God Almighty can heal our broken, disquieted spirit. If we'll confess that despondency and flee to God, friend, He'll get us over the hump and give us a victory over it. Yes, sir. Just remember Him. Said, therefore will I remember thee. The way to remember. Huh? He left his miseries and found the mercies of God. Woo! Why do you want to live in misery when there's mercy?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Dump that misery, buddy. Dump that misery. Dump the misery and find mercy. He delights to give mercy. He delights in giving you mercy. We run around miserable. I'm talking about miserable, miserable people packing a load that we can't carry. When there's mercy. Now, and here's what we say. That the only time God gives a sinner mercy is at the cross when we're saved. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That ain't the cross, friend. That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help when, Preacher Hall, in a time of need. That's when. Woo!
Yes.
Oh, why not tonight, the squatted soul? Let your faith interrogate your feeling. You leave here tonight skipping on one foot. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
You'll make that fella in Acts 3. Amen. You'll make him look like he's still crippled. You'll outrun him tonight. That's right. Now look here. He got the victory even when there was a conspiracy against him. Can I show you verse 7 right quick? I'll be done in a minute now. It's a tough verse. I've never heard anybody tackle it. He said, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. That's God's waves and God's billows is gone over me. But he said, deep calleth unto deep. One deep thing calling unto another deep thing. Deep calleth unto deep. And if I may, David uses the wonder of nature to provide us with a glorious metaphor. The thought here is that one splendor of creation is holding fellowship with another splendor of creation. Deep calleth unto deep. Hey, before you threw the TV out, did you ever see any pictures on the television of a hurricane? Huh? You know what happened? Wind was a blowing, wasn't it? And the waves were a raging, friend, and it caused a terrible storm. I'm going to say, deep calleth unto deep. Son, that wind in the outer atmosphere gets to churning and gets to rolling, and it creates such a vacuum down on the earth in the ocean that it lifts up those waves and those waves. That wind, come on now! That wind is a coming down and the waves are going up. They're trying to meet one another, friend. Deep calleth unto deep. And the thought is there that old David run into trouble on the inside and trouble on the outside. He found double trouble in his life. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, when you're disquieted in your soul,
Amen. And persecuted from without, you're in for double trouble. There is a conspiracy, my friend, to try to sow discord in your soul and to rob you of the very peace that God's planted in your bosom. But you can run to the same God. And He'll restore the peace. That's right, ain't it? Did y'all get a hold of that or did you lose it? Huh? Now, somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Well, let's put it like this. Your soul is disquieted within you. You've just learned that you're 2 or 3 months behind on your car payment. Pretty bad, ain't it? From without. And your soul drops. Let's say all of a sudden, you learn that your 14-year-old daughter run off with some fella. Double trouble. That running off with some fella hurts, but it don't hurt out there. The bank is what's going to hurt you out there. But the girl running off is going to hurt you in here. Deep calleth unto deep, buddy. And then on top of it, you get called an egg sucker, thief, crook. Are you listening? And I've overcome it. Brother, are you listening? Deep calleth unto deep to try to rob you of your peace. There's a conspiracy, brother. There is a fleshly man you have and a world out yonder that'll do everything they can to rob you of your peace. Now, I hope I didn't upset none of y'all's little apple carts, none. Now, I want to say thirdly, and I'm trying to get done. But I find amidst it all the cordial of God's love. The cordial of God's love. Look at verse number 8. Yet the Lord, here He is with His soul cast down. His spirit is disquieted. Yet the Lord will not just speak. The Lord will command. Command what? Loving kindness in the daytime. A song in the night. And in the night His song shall be with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life. You know what a cordial is? A cordial is anything that revives the spirit. It cheers the spirit, gives strength and comforts and gladdens and exhilarates. It's good news. And how much more good news could it be when your soul is disquieted within you to know that God will command His loving kindness? Amen. Woo! His loving kindness. Get this now. Listen. God will command whose loving kindness? You know what Charles Spurgeon said? Charles Spurgeon said, if self tried to comfort self, there'd be no comfort. Amen. You can't comfort yourself, friend. You can't find it within yourself. Amen. To comfort your own soul when it's cast down and depressed, it's not possible. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like Job's three friends, miserable comforters are y'all, Job said. There's not much comfort you can find from people without. They don't understand. Oh, Brother Doug, we could ever get people to understand that God is the only one that understands the heart of man, and God is the only one that can comfort the heart of man. He is able to comfort them. Wish I knew how to quote that. 2 Corinthians, with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you know He can? Oh, yes. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. Son, when I'm down and out of it, buddy, I'm going to tell you the first person I'm going to. I like to talk to people, and there ain't nothing wrong with our fellowship, but God, my friend, is a comfort. Huh? Some of you in here don't know a thing about what I'm saying. And the reason you don't, you're as blind as a billy goat. Are you listening? And then he said prayer. His song. Spurgeon said, affliction may put out the candle, but it can't stop the song. That's right. And then in verse 9, the psalmist finally understands. He said, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Everybody look right up at me and I'm closing. Now, he was cast down because of the waves and the billows that God had put over his, brought over his soul. But it was also God that cared for his soul. Would you agree to that? Have you ever seen a man lose a leg from gangrene? Kind of a nasty sight, wouldn't you think? What do you think happened to a man? I believe he'd die if he didn't lose that leg. And so amputating a leg that's gangrene is not something unmerciful and out of a heart of hate. It's out of love. That's the only thing that will save that man's life. Leonard, for instance. Had Leonard Kaplan not had his leg cut off, that gangrene would have done had him in the grave by now. And when God brings those billows and waves over your soul, there is a gangrene in you somewhere that God's trying to purge out of you, buddy. And I'm going to tell you, it may seem unkind at first. But when the wound heals, you'll find that it was mercy. All the mercy of God. Can I say this to you, and I believe this, and I really don't know how to explain it. But I'm going to just say it the best way I can. I believe a lot of the things that have befallen me in my ministry have befallen me because of sin in my life that God has had to purge out. Oh, now he'll hold the guilty party responsible. Are you listening to me? In every case, he will. He's a just God. But at the same time, I can honestly look back, Brother Steve, at my life and my ministry right here and say that it's all been for my good and His glory. It's done something for me. Huh? I'm going to tell you, it's given me grace. I believe it's taught me how to love folks that don't love me. Huh? And I'm not talking about adultery and all that stuff. When I'm talking about sin in my life, I'm talking about the sin of not being able to love somebody that hates me. Oh, that's not sinful. Yes, it is sin. You better believe it is. And God will amputate to make things better in our life. Faith, interrogating feelings. Why are you cast down tonight? Why ain't you smiled all night long? What's your problem? Huh? Carry your faith to your feelings. And go to God with it, friend. Lady down at the restaurant the other day. Laid a big old long rug out sitting there. She said, Brother Hall, she said, now, I won't lay that there. I said, be careful when you get up and don't stumble over it. I said, I don't want you to fall. I said, ma'am, though a righteous man falls 7 times, God will lift him up. Hallelujah. Woo! What a God we serve. He is the lifter up of my soul. He is the keeper of my soul. He is the blesser of my soul. He is the savior of my soul. He is the rewarder of my soul. Amen. And he's a coming back after my soul. Bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. Let's stand together.